For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
I'm here with Muelwa Chebesakunda of Financial Insight Zambia, and this is Outside In at Money, brought to you by Financial Insight Zambia. So, Muelwa, thank you for everything you brought to us today. I think that's all you came prepared. Now it's my turn to quiz you.
Shoot away, Chi. Shoot away.
So I'm talking about the stock market today. I'm sure when you go, I'm going to give my little brief, what I dug up about the history of the stock exchange and so on and so forth. Well, this is a fun fact. I did not know... around, well, in the circles of people that study that, it is thought that the East India Trading Company was the first publicly traded stock in the world.
And I'm right, really?
Yeah, okay, and I'm like, well, yeah. Exactly.
But well, it's possible, and I'm sure they were trading spices, weren't they?
They were trading spices and tea.
Spices and tea, yes.
And people.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's exactly. The dark side
exactly.
of it.
Exactly, and I was like, that's not nice, you know what I mean? But it had to do with the risk which they were putting down
because
it was shipping and stuff.
So absolutely.
They were getting people to underwrite their risk and so on and so forth. Which is very different from our stock market today, world, but then again, not so different.
No, it's not so different because, you know, like just like in the way it was done back then, there's also a small matter of managing risk. And, you know, with the way our every stock exchange is set up, and I I'm sure some of our listeners will obviously notice, I always talk about the information symmetry. It's always important that there's information on both sides. This is, you know, buyers and sellers. And I touched on it on that yesterday when Jason had me on the phone. With regulators such as the SEC, they're there to, you know, to police everything that's going on. And, you know, when issues of, for example, insider trading, and this is why corporate governance is such a huge thing for every listed company. Though, you know, from my discussions with my friends at Luce, they say that, you know, that's also part of the reason why not many companies are listed, because they don't want to have Big Brother, you know, looking over them and, you know, interrogating them. Yeah, corporate governance tends to be a bit of a challenge, but it shouldn't be because really, I mean, if you're going to run a company, you know, transparency is always very, very important. So we actually encourage the big companies. There's particular companies that I, you know, like I loved. I won't mention now, but I mean, they've grown so big that, you know, really, you know, the public need to be participating
in
trading.
I'm going
to ask you
the benefits of investing, but like maybe if you're able to, what from your mind, and this is totally unresearched.
Yes.
Now, what are the benefits of listing on the stock, in your opinion?
Okay. So now there's a plethora of benefits of listing. One of them, obviously, it improves the public image of the company. So depending on what industry that you're in, it can actually be a sure way of propping yourself up. The second benefit is that you know, if you've exhausted all your streams of raising capital, you know, interest rates with the banks, you know, you're all borrowed out, or you know, you're not able to, you know, to get more equity investment, you could actually now go to, you know, the stock market to raise capital. So, you know, what that allows you to do is obviously you list and, you know, you have the public participate, but then they also, you know, put money in your company. So that's one of the main risks. I mean, if you notice, companies, we haven't had a listing in quite some time.
Yes, we
and we're hopeful that come next year. And chances are, and this is why the narrative around, you know, encouraging companies to list should actually be in the direction of getting those companies to, if they've traditionally, you know, struggled to raise capital for, you know, like big projects, maybe expansion, that would allow these companies to actually scale up. Yeah. You know, listing on the stock exchange would actually do that. But then again, there's also a downside. I'm sure, like, you know, those that follow like your Bloombergs, you've noticed like Elon Musk of Tesla has been ranting and raving, and, you know, he's got the SEC there in America, you know, like on him, and he's talking about going private. Now, what essentially that means is that he'll then now delist, you know, buy back all the shares and delist from the stock exchange. Usually, the challenge that Elon Musk has faced, and, you know, even with, though not to a large extent in Zambia, If a company is listed, the scrutiny that that investors and also the public have can actually influence the stock market's price.
Yes.
Now, what that means is that that's negative publicity, and that's why Elon Musk has been having such a huge headache. With his listing, because everybody's been poking their nose. You've got analysts making estimates that either over or under. So that tends to affect sentiment around the company. And if at all they've got like a merger that's supposed to be coming through, that might mess up a potential deal that's going to come forward. But overall, especially now because our stock market is so young, more and more participation is actually needed, because some companies now are finding themselves in a situation where raising capital is very, very difficult. And the nice thing about Alusa is that it's got the two tiers. There's the primary market, and then there's the secondary market. Now you have what's called the AIM market. That's the alternative market. Now on the alternative market, this is where the smaller companies now, I've had a bit of a fight with Luce over this, because some of the requirements are a bit restrictive in terms of companies, small, because this one's
even
targeted
for the smaller companies.
Yeah, for the smaller companies. This one's targeted at the SMEs, but then they require your turnover to be at a certain level. I think it was like $500,000 or something, but I'll have to check the details. And yeah, we can talk about it on another show.
Sure.
However, my point is that on the AIM market, companies are the listing there is less restrictive as compared to the main board. So yeah, companies can actually use the AIM market. What a lot of people don't know is that Zambeef is listed on the AIM and the London Stock Exchange. They didn't go on the main one, so that was a nice way of them raising money, on that. So so those are essentially some of the main benefits that come to mind, regarding listing.
Touching on something that you said, we're going to get to the benefits for investors, which I think is what everybody wants to hear. But listen to this sentence, tell me what you think. It touches on something you said. This is somebody who was giving tips on being a good investor. And he goes, the merits of an asset in question matter only so much, and certainly they can't be strong enough to always carry the day. Human emotion inevitably causes the price of assets, even worthwhile assets, to be transported to levels that are either extreme and sustainable, either vertiginously high or overly pessimistic lows. Do you think that's true, especially because and this is going on what you said, that sometimes even in the stock market it's about perception.
Perception. And I'm sure that the gentleman that wrote that is obviously looking at the overvaluation of some of these companies.
If you look
at the pattern of some of the more recent the recent IPOs in some of the international markets, you tend to notice that on the day of listing, when the stock first trades, you tend to find that some stocks will actually dip. That is because the analysts that prepared did the due diligence around the companies and came up with these reports and valued the stock, the underwriters would value the stock at a particular level, and it's expected that when it goes to market it would list at a particular level. But then because most of the input into their models looks at the forecast of some of their revenues, so sometimes maybe certain forecasts could be overly optimistic, and I guess that's where the emotional side comes in. Because for example, if I'm gonna list a company that sells ice blocks, and I'm saying these ice blocks can be had in October and June, and based on historical experience, come next year, maybe another company comes up with a different flavor. But sure, then, how am I going to now factor that in if I don't do it? So chances are I'll probably have to have a conservative, approach in terms of my valuation of the company. But, overvaluation
At the same time, you want to cash out as much as you can.
Absolutely.
I think of Aston Martin very recently. They dropped on the London Stock Exchange.
Yes, yes.
And they were all about, we're moving on, technology, we're going to have flying cars and all this.
Absolutely.
But they saw a dip.
Yes.
Apparently, it's now down like 20%.
Absolutely, yes. But
it's also about the timing as well.
Yes, and that there's also that emotional thing. Aston Martin have a great value proposition. Obviously, if we look at their financials, year-on-year sales growth. So chances are that, yes, they probably did deserve the listing that, the price listing that they actually got. But then again, it's like the writer of that thing, it's all about emotion, how the market actually feels about that. And yes, in the sort of industry that they're in, with the coming of the EVs, electric vehicles, that, looking at maybe their strategy around that, if questions are asked there, sentiment again can push the price down, even though historical financial information shows that they've had year-on-year growth.
So when you're a financial analyst, when you work in Wall Street, when you're an investor here, so what, do you become a psychologist now? You have to read too many. Where's the math? I thought this was a numbers game.
it is. But then there's the argument that the irrational economics has actually ended. So we're in a very 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 irrational time. So there are different influences now. But I think coming back, when we look back at the tech bubble, I always feel that the financial side, it's a bit cyclic. So we tend to go through these cycles, and tech bubble was very very dear to me, because that was, I was graduating out of uni, and then I was looking up to some of these companies, and they were just falling all over themselves, and they raised a lot of money, but then a lot of them tanked, and it just went to show that sometimes you can have a great idea, but then again, if all the different factors are not thought out, even some of the investors, you tend to find certain investors will not really like think through certain investments. That's why there's companies like mine that would actually help with the investment story. If sometimes you have to go with a bit of a gut feeling, and I love reading Warren Buffett's books. He's like the maestro when
he's
comes to investing.
He's probably the most successful investor.
He is. And he's actually shocked me.
From your readings, what was his secret? What would you say is the one thing that has seen him through?
The one secret has been durable competitive advantage.
Okay.
Finding that one product that allows you to reach its sweet spot. So, for example, with Coca-Cola, everybody loves Coca-Cola, and Coca-Cola has made them tons of money. It's because they have durable competitive advantage.
What? The fact that they're a fizzy tasty drink?
It's how the management team structured the company, because Coca-Cola now doesn't even make Coca-Cola.
It doesn't make it anymore.
But you structure the company, and this is how... Oh, because obviously this is a company that evolves over decades and decades, but... how they've structured the company, they create a particular value proposition. Mm-hmm. Then, going forward, you find that, year on year, they're still able to post, huge profits, and they've scaled up their business. Right now, I often look at Coca-Cola as more of a marketing company than a fizzy drinks company, despite all the health concerns that are associated to that. So he's invested in other companies as well. I think there's a candy company that makes splendid candy. And even that, competitors have tried to come and mimic, but they've not been able to. But then also, Warren Buffett invests in people. The guys that run these companies, obviously come, undergo, tutelage from by him, and they end up being such great managers that year on year they're posting positive results and making investors happy.
So as a advice to the local investors, those of us who want to play the stock market, are we looking at management structures? Are we trying to find out what's going on behind the companies? Are we trying to form some kind of, maybe not emotional, but like some kind of relationship with the product? Are you saying we have to, what is it when you say do your homework if you're about to invest in a company? What is that homework?
Yeah, so essentially when we say do your homework, know what company, or rather what business that company is, and understand that business. Essentially, there's a lot of factors that influence a company. So when we do our stories on Financial Insight, we look at the macro environment. What are the forces that are influencing that particular company? So this is from consumers and suppliers to the wider environment, like regulation, etc. Also, looking internally at the management team.
Yeah.
Now, from the management team, you're able to tell if the management team is actually performing by looking at historical financial information. Yeah. So that's part of doing your homework. Going forward, it's like your homework continues by listening into some of the statements that come from the company.
Yeah.
For example, when BAT last year made the announcement that they were going to go local, manufacture local. For us, we immediately picked on, and we actually predicted that this company was going to have growth in profit come end of 2018, and it's actually happened.
What's happening, yeah.
It's actually what happened. So listening into, you know, the press statements from the CEOs of the companies, well, also the PR, and maybe even, you know, the finance director, if he ever gets a chance to, you know, to say something. Knowing what sort of company, you know, what the company strategy is, or rather decoding what the company strategy is, it can actually give you comfort. And this is how you end up intimately knowing whether you should be putting your money with these guys or not.
Very good, very good. All right, speaking of very good, this has been nice. Once again, I've taken you 5 minutes over, but it's much better. Last week, it was like, what, an hour
over? Yeah, it was an hour over. Oh, my God. Anyway, it was our first show, Chi, but
it was
great fun. And thanks to everybody for listening in. Tune in next week. And in the meantime, tune in, you know, log on to our website, www.fizambia.com, and check out some of our recent stories.
Please do that. Like I said, I cannot recommend it strongly enough. Financial Insight Zambia, my go-to place for financial insights in Zambia right now, and that is true. That is a fact.
Thank you, where
else are we going?
Well, they're back
not
online.
To the other guy. Oh, they're back now.
They're back online.
Excellent. Mwela, thank you so much, man.
Thanks for having me, listeners.
If you have any questions for Mwela personally, what's your social media?
Okay, so on social media, we're our Twitter handle is MW15. We're also on LinkedIn as well, and Facebook. We've got a Financial Insight Zambia Facebook page. So please like it. We're at over 7,000 likes at the moment.
Nice.
We'd like to get to 10,000 before Christmas. So please like our page.
Is there an over under on that? Well, what's the bet? Can I place a bet on whether you're going to reach 10,000?
Yes, you can.
I need to see the odds first.
Absolutely. Absolutely.